Hey there, special educators. Welcome to Autism Academy 360, a podcast to making your job as special education teachers easier. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Abby, a behavior specialist. And together, we have over 25 years of special education experience.
And I'm a veteran autism teacher. We both are passionate about empowering you with practical teaching strategies and actionable tips and tricks that will help you thrive in your role.
Whether you're a seasoned educator looking for fresh insights, a newbie navigating your first classroom, or a parent of a neurodivergent child, this podcast is your go-to resource for all things autism.
So let's get started with today's episode. Hey there, and welcome back to Autism Academy 360. I'm your host, Lisa Holliday, and today I want to talk about the ultimate checklist of sensory tools for special needs students. As a mom of a special needs son and doing 16 years in the autism spectrum world, I've seen my fair share of sensory toys and tools. Some worked, some didn't, and sometimes it just depends on the kid itself and their personal preferences. So I want to give you a list of sensory tools that I've used, but I do want to break them down into separate categories because they fill a specific need. So I have gross motor tools, fine motor tools, proprioceptive, vestibular, tactile toys, visual, auditory, and even oral feeding toys or oral sensory seeker tools that you could use. All right, so when we're talking about gross motor tools, gross motor skills really involve the coordination and control of those large muscle groups, like crawling, running, jumping, even walking. These lay the foundations for various daily skills. And so we want to make sure that we are engaging those every day. Here are my favorites. So trampolines and crash pads are two of my very favorite gross motor sensory tools because they provide that large, gross input that a lot of our students are seeking. A pop-up tent and or pop-up tunnel that they can crawl through and or hide. A lot of kids need that crawling exercise and they like that enclosed space. A therapy ball and scooter are also great to have as gross motor tools. I like using scooter boards with handles just to practice so that they're more safe. Yoga balls, we have peanut balls, big balls, and small balls. We have a variety in size in our classroom so that the students can choose between those. But those are some gross motor. So let's jump into fine motor skills. So fine motor skills involves the coordination and control of really small muscles that go with like writing or, you know, buttoning and unbuttoning your clothes or using utensils. So these skills are also very foundational for having academic success and using them for daily activities. So the first thing I love for this is using any type of tweezers or grabbers, anything to pinch together I use in our fine motor area. Another thing is Theraputty or Play-Doh or sand are all in that realm of using those fine motor skills to build or push or mold into certain things. We also love using any type of Mr. Potato Head, which is really great, interactive, pretend play, plus using those fine motor skills. We also like using any type of lace and trace activities that they have to be able to pinch that string to get it through the laces. We also love using any type of building blocks. So whether you're using magnet tiles or Legos or regular wooden blocks or whatever kind of blocks you're using those fine pincer skills or those, whatever you call them. I'm not an OT, but I know that when they are using that to build, they are really working those muscles. And then one more, we use a lot of peg puzzles and or regular puzzles, wooden puzzles in our K-2 autism classroom, which they love using those in our fine motor center. And also scissors. Scissors are a great tool to use to practice those fine motor skills. So let's chat a little bit about proprioceptive tools and vestibular input tools. So these are like the sense of body awareness for a child and their development. So this is influencing a lot of those motor skills, that coordination, even including some emotional regulation. So let's quickly start with those proprioceptive tools. Okay, the first one I'm going to talk about is giving that input for like a vibrating pillow or a disc to sit on that has like little nubbies on it so they can get that input. Any type of massager, whether it's a handheld massager or something for the back or the feet, that's giving them that input. Any type of compression vest or weighted vest that gives them that input as well. And brushing tools, although there is like a treatment regimen type program for brushing, but I've seen brushing work as well. So jumping in right to vestibular. So when the vestibular system is properly stimulated through activities like swinging, spinning, rocking, essentially the kinds of activities that vestibular toys and tools provide, enhances these motor skills, but also contributes to that sensory integration. So using things like a pod swing or any type of swing, hammock, a swinging chair, a rocking chair to get that input. Using things like river stones or something where a student can cross and use their coordination to not fall off. You can only use this for like little kids, but those sit and spins, I'm sure you've seen them when you were younger. Usually toddlers are using this where they sit down and they spin. You can also use a trampoline to get that vestibular input in there. Or any kind of balance board, so a child will stand right up on top of it and kind of balance on it using that large motor, their midsection. So let's jump into tactile toys or tactile tools. This is basically the understanding of the world around them. It allows them to like gather information about different textures, smells, temperature, surfaces. This is essential for their safety and comfort, but plays a crucial role in the development of those fine motor skills and hand-eye coordination. So let's jump into it. Number one, any type of sensory ball. I'm sure you've seen them before where they have like little nubbies on them. We also use a lot of different type of textured balls, squishy balls. They could be bracelets. They could be discs. Anything that has like a different material. We've also used Play-Doh and or sand for this type of tactile input. That Therapuddy using in this. A koosh ball is super popular in my classroom right now, especially. I have seen the different uses of a sensory table. So using beans, rice, cotton balls, water in that. And also some people like to brush, get their hair brushed. So just brushing a student's hair gives them that type of input in anything that vibrates. So this also goes into that category as well. All right, let's jump into sensory visual toys. So these toys also play a very crucial role in captivating the child's sense of sight and gets into that visual exploration, right? So light up toys, things that use LED lights, a lot of different types of visual input. So I'm talking about, for example, we use a 60-minute visual countdown timer, like a time timer. We use the 10-minute timer, the 20-minute timer. This helps see the time disappear. We also use a lot of like water bottles that have those little sensory glitter bead type stuff in it. I forget what they're called off the top of my head. We also use a lot of those oozy lava tubes, and you just watch the water and or lava, slime, whatever you want to call it, kind of go into the bottom and then you turn it back upside down. I use a lot of lava lamps in the past, which also gives that light and visual sensory input for that. We have used a lot of artificial, like aquariums, kind of just to get them to have something to look at. If you have a child that likes like fiber optics or like a starry sky, spacey looking things, lamps that you would use in like a kid's room, like a nighttime projector you could use in your classroom for that visual sensory input that a student might be looking for. Now, some kids do not like this stuff. I have a light table in my classroom right now, and I have a student who hates when it's on. Anytime we turn the light table on, he turns it off. So, you know, you win some and you lose some. So these are all really good visual sensory things that kids like to stare and look at. So let's chat real quick about auditory input. So this sensory is crucial for the development of speech and language. We want the kids to learn to distinguish between different sounds, recognize patterns in speech and whatnot. So in order to do this, we want to get them a lot of auditory tools that have and give them that sensory input or keep it out. So the first thing that we use a lot of is noise-canceling headphones. We have used this for so many different reasons. We also have a lot of rainmakers. We also use an Alexa device in our classroom where we have things like a thunder playing, or maybe it's the rainforest playing, so that they can get that like calming sense in the classroom. If you don't have those types of devices, you can use your smart board or cell phone and just turn on like calming sounds, and that would help. For kids that don't like a lot of sound and they need like earplugs, we've gotten those before, which is super helpful. But I have found a lot of kids with autism do not like things shoved in their ears. And so this takes a lot to kind of desensitize them from that. And then using any type of musical instruments, so like maracas or little shakers or a little banjo or whatever kind of musical instruments, bells really help with this. So jumping into the last one, which is oral sensory system, this is very important for kids that are still going through that oral exploration. Maybe they're at a functional a lot lower than you're used to. You might see those kids put them a lot of things in their mouth. They might drool. They might be teething their shirt or putting anything in their mouth. So these are our oral sensory seekers. And here are the things that we kind of use for that sensory input. So we've used a lot of jewelry, I guess you would call it. So a lot of things that they can bite on, we put them on a string, and the students can have that on them all the time. Or any type of sensory chew stick, which is not really on a string, but it's something that they can put in their mouth. You can find these in all shapes and sizes. We've also had little vibrators that are specific for the mouth. So they can put it in their mouth and it kind of vibrates the jaw, it vibrates the tongue. So this should help with that sensory seeking. We've also used things like sour spray that we kind of spray the tongue and get the mouth moving. We've used like a nubby where you put it on your finger and kind of just shake around the mouth to kind of like wake it up. We've also even used gum. So a lot of kids like to just chew. And so if a child is really understanding that they're not supposed to swallow the gum, that they understand to chew the gum, we give them gum so they can still get that sensory input they're looking for, but they're not eating some non-editable object. And so that kind of takes a long time to do. We also have used different things like textured spoons or textured toothbrushes to kind of stimulate the mouth. Again, using those massage, like portable little massagers to like massage outside of the mouth has been super helpful too. So that is a very, very quick rundown of everything that we've kind of used in our classroom to meet those sensory needs. I really hope this episode has been enlightening as far as sensory needs in the classroom. Please just go to the show notes if you have a question about a certain tool, or always feel free to email me. Until next time, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Autism Academy 360. We hope that you've gained some tips and motivation to fuel your week ahead.
Before you go, don't forget to hit that follow button on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. If you want to show support, head to Apple Podcasts and leave your rating and review.
Until next time, stay inspired, stay informed, and most importantly, stay connected. We'll catch you in the next episode.